You've heard the word of the Lord, our gospel lesson for today. From Luke 13, 31 to 35, Jesus said, "Go and tell that fox." And then he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We pray. Tender, loving, kind, and true, make us more like you. Amen. In the name of him who has loved us with an everlasting love. Dearly beloved disciples, fellow disciples under the cross, how good are you at shortcuts? Not talking about the old classic where, you know, they're dating and the guy takes a shortcut, gets lost, runs out of gas, you know the story. But some shortcuts, you don't even know you're in them. A brother of mine in our youth very carefully read the recipe for some cookies he wanted to make. It called for a quarter cup of coffee. He didn't realize he'd taken a shortcut until we were all crunching coffee grounds in those cookies. Don't you know? It's quicker than brewing it to just use coffee grounds in the cookies, huh? What is it about shortcuts where you don't even realize you're doing them until after the fact? When I've really tried to hurry, I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me. I've hurried through something or other, and my granddad's words of wisdom ring in my ears. Just three words. Haste makes waste. And once again, I'm thinking, I sure wish I'd have thought of that a few minutes ago. Shortcuts. Isn't that all about last Sunday's temptations of our Lord Jesus doing battle with the devil in the desert, right? Is it Luke chapter 4? Take a shortcut. You're hungry. Do a miracle for yourself. Make bread out of these stones. Why not? Or what about all that glory of these nations you can have? Take a shortcut. Just worship the devil. I'll give it all to you. Shortcut? You really want to know how much God cares for you? Jump off this high temple wall here, because it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You know, there's no age in our life, as Christians in particular, when there's not some shortcut. In our youth, midlife, elder years, and it never fails. For Christians in particular, those shortcuts lead to desolation. Ultimately, it's far worse than disappointment. It's just desolation. And I am so glad to have a Savior and a friend of my soul who loves me so much that he would never take a shortcut. Jesus is here in this part of Luke from chapter 9, verse 51 to chapter 19, verse 44. It's on his resolute journey to Jerusalem. I told you about that before. And he will not be deterred. He is determined to crush the shortcuts as he crushes our desolation from unbelief and sin. Nothing will stop him. It's what the Pharisees, you know, the self-righteous church people, thought that they could, you know, have a shortcut, get Jesus out of Galilee. He's up there causing trouble for them. So in that very hour, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Leave and go away from here because Herod wants to kill you." Well, that'd be great if they could make him act in fear all the papers and the newscasts, you know, the podcasts. It'd all be about Jesus' cowardice if he would just run, you know, kill him twice, get him out of here, make him a coward. This is Herod, Herod Antipas. You know him better as the Herod who decided he really didn't have any choice in his drunken party to behead John the Baptist because some dancing girl asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. That's Herod, son of Herod, you know, the great, who ordered the murder of all the baby boys in Bethlehem because he was trying to kill the king of the Jews who had just been born, you know. It would make sense, wouldn't it, to stay as far as you could away from that whole family? They were all murderous like that. Stay away from the Herods, Jesus. But he is determined to crush desolation. And he's going to teach us a lesson here, of all things, by the fox and the hen. The lesson from the fox and the hen. How determined he is to crush desolation. Most of what we Americans know about foxes, I think, probably comes from cartoons. They're so cute, aren't they? Cute little foxes. Those little ears, you know. Never harm anything, right? Did you ever try to raise chickens? Let's say you did. Let's say you had some prize chickens. And those sweet little chicks that hatch from the eggs. Oh, and then some fox got into the hen house. And you come and find the spray of blood and feathers all over the place. How do you feel about foxes now? They can be extremely determined. Just across the road here in Snail Lake Park years ago, walking along, not 10 yards ahead, a fox chased a squirrel up a tree. I don't mean just the squirrel up the tree. The fox ran up the tree. Well, till he couldn't go any farther, but I couldn't believe it. Foxes will do that, determined to bring about the death of whatever it is they're chasing. And Jesus will not back down. He's going to be as determined as that fox. You know, if you know the story of the fox in the hen house, maybe the historic diary of George Washington won't bother you so much, as reported by David McCullough in his book, 1776. One Saturday, George and his friends rode for 7 hours, hard riding after a fox. The fox got away. Next Saturday, another 6 hours of hard riding on horseback. That time they caught the fox. No more feathers flying, more chickens, one less fox. I don't know. Jesus, he's talking more about the danger than the wily, sly, cute little guy in the cartoons. He knows that Herod can chew him up with the power that he has, except. Jesus said to them, go tell that fox, look, I am going to drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the next day, because it cannot be that a prophet would be killed outside Jerusalem. Oh, that's your plan, Jesus? You're going to go to Jerusalem one way or another to die there? You're so determined to die? Why? Could it be our shortcuts? We would sure love to get to the glory, to get to the crown, before we have to carry that wretched cross. Oh no, Pastor, we know. Bible classes have been all about suffering lately, I know. I'm talking about your heart. My heart. My first reaction when things don't go the way that I want. Do you ever ask the question, why me, Lord? As if God doesn't know what's going on in your life. You know, we pray our Father who art in heaven, and then we act as if he doesn't know what's going on down here. You ever heard somebody, or maybe felt it yourself, just kind of wishing that God had created the world different? Why didn't he just make a paradise? He did. You know he did. It was called the Garden of Eden. What happened? Oh, that Adam. Well, and Eve. But Adam's the one blamed in the Bible. Rebellion. We would never have done that, right? No, just again and again and again. Husbands, have you ever acted like Adam? Maybe at least in your thoughts, if not in your words, and blamed your Eve? Just blamed her or thought about her because something went wrong? What a sinful heart. Wives, you ever just made excuses instead of just admitting you're wrong? Ooh, did I say that? Somehow in our culture, that's not supposed to be said. Oh, what a sinful heart. Oh, it's not enough just to have the older people, the teens these days. You ever been upset because of the way God made your body? It is heartbreaking how the wicked world in which we live is using the normal heartaches and struggles of teens with their self-image to bring about these brutal, permanent, unnecessary surgeries to change gender. And how many there are now that have gone through it and are calling out to other teens, don't do that. If God made you a woman, then glory in your womanhood. He didn't say it is very good until after he created the woman. If God made you a man, then thank him for that. Adam and Eve were the crown of God's creation. He made them male and female. This is a thing with God, not to be rebelled against. Trust in the Lord. He will bring you through those teen troubles and heartaches and that roller coaster of emotions and the difficulties, because we have to learn to face our troubles without taking the shortcuts. Because we have a Savior so determined to crush our desolation. You know what we're up against? That fallen angel from hell. And oh, how he loves to bring the male and female together before they're married. And how he loves to tear them apart after they're married. Have you noticed that? That perverted old evil foe deserves to be crushed. Why is he so angry? Because he knows his time is short. And you make him mad because you are the people of God. But the Lord's brother James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. God gives us the same determination as our Lord Christ to crush those shortcomings and crush that desolation, because you can hear in this the heart of God. Later on, Luke reports when Jesus finally got to Jerusalem, he wept over the city. God's heart is weeping here, still up in Galilee, when he says, verses 34 and 35, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Did you catch that? Parents grieving for straying children. You may be crying out to God as God cried out about his son Israel through the prophets. What more could I have done for you? Christian parents feel that way sometimes. What more could we have done? There's another reason why the doing didn't stick the way you wanted it to. Jesus says it here about his Jewish people with a perfect Father in heaven, a perfect brother in Christ, the coming Messiah, the perfect Holy Spirit in his teaching. Problem? You were not willing. God, make us willing. Because Jesus finally had to say to his own people in Jerusalem, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You don't know, my dear Christian friends, you do not realize how deeply God the Lord cherishes you. I don't mean you plural, I mean you as an individual. He knows you better than you know yourself. And as much as you don't like yourself sometimes, he still loves you. He loved us when we were dead in our transgressions and sins and gave us life when we were still sin, dead corpses spiritually. Read Ephesians 1 and 2, his choice. And because he chose you, because he loved you from all eternity, when you're not what you should be, you can go back to God and say, God, I'm glad this was your idea. It wasn't my idea to love you. It's never what it ought to be. Tender, loving, kind, and true. Make us more like you. I will. But don't think that's what makes me love you. Don't think that that's why I looked at you and cared for you. I love you because I love you. That's his answer. His infinite love that we cannot understand, and so he has to keep on telling us every possible way. As you read your Bible, as you listen to sermons, listen for the love and the mercy and the kindness, that steadfast caring of God. When he said the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, nobody knew what he was talking about. You and I know the rest of the story. Nobody knew, not even the angels, that it would take the blood of God's own son. That determination to get to Jerusalem and die because of our sins, our shortcuts, whatever you want to call, whatever leads to our desolation. He wanted to crush it by dying for it. Every shortcut you ever took that you shouldn't have, forgiven. Every thought, feeling, word, attitude that you failed to have or say when it should have all been there, forgiven. Righteousness of Christ, all yours. By virtue of the water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By virtue of the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's simple. Christ crushed it. There's an old story about a couple of forest rangers surveying the damage after a raging fire turned a beautiful forest into charred stumps and trees. Two of them are walking along and one of them calls to the other, "You got to see this." He goes over and he looks and his heart jumped up in his throat. Right next to a burned out tree, standing as tall as she can and rigid, is the charred remains of a hen. Just standing there. One of the rangers just taps that corpse a little bit and it falls over. And then he gasped. Out from under the hen run little baby chicks. She called them. She called her brood through the smoke as the fire raged. Put them under her wings and stood there, solid, strong, true, till the fire was past. They lived because she died. You know, as God's people, that the fires of God's wrath are coming. No global warming or any forest raging fire is anything like the elements melting with fervent heat. It's coming. Christ, who came the first time to suffer and die so determined, will not stay away when it's time to take his people home. But you've still got time. Christ is still calling. The hen is still clucking to get the chicks under her wings. Through your voice, through your determination, picked up from the same Lord Christ who loved you and loves you with an everlasting love, infinite. It's all yours. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, they'd all sing it when he finally reaches Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But you know where that was leading. When finally he climbs the hill called Golgotha. And now you and I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Rest under his wings. Blessed are you when you come in the name of the Lord. It's time. Today's the day. Come here. Shelter here. In Christ alone. Amen.